Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
You may be seated. Well, welcome to Carols 2023. I cannot believe it. I saw a meme the other day and it was so accurate of where we find ourselves. It was January, February, load shedding, Booker, load shedding, December. That's pretty much what happened with this year. It is incredible that we are here at this time of year. And this Advent season is a season where we remember the coming of our Savior. It's not just a little story, friends. It's not just a little thing we read, and this is a significant moment. And the reason our series is Good News and Great Joy is because it is good news and great joy. And over this month, we're going to unpack why it is that it is good news and great joy. But it is incredible that we have had our start of our carols today, and I know that God has so much more in store with us. There was once a man who didn't believe in God. He was a total atheist. His wife did believe in God and raised her children to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, to believe in the Christmas story, despite her husband's constant jeers at her, constant belittling of her for it. One day on Christmas Eve, she decided to go in her farm village to a little church where they were going to learn more about Jesus and his birth. And yet again, she extended an invitation to her husband to join her at this Christmas Eve service as her and her children were on their way. And her husband says, "The story is nonsense, absolutely nonsense. Why would God lower himself to come to earth as a man? It's absolutely ridiculous." And so his wife went off with their children, went off to the small little church, and on their way there, a snowstorm started to take place, and the snow that was falling gently became a blizzard. And so her husband thought, well, while they're out, I'm going to sit in front of the fire and rest. And so he sat in front of a fire, started to rest, and the snow got heavier and heavier. The blizzard took over. He went to the window. He couldn't see out of the window at all. The blizzard had, like, completely couldn't see, like, a foot in front of the window. Went back, sat in front of the fire. All of a sudden, he heard a bang, a thump on his window. He was like, what is that? And so he got up, he looked out the window, but there was no way he could go outside because the blizzard was so strong. He couldn't go outside. A little while later, he heard another thump on the window. A little while later, another thump. He kept going to the window to see what it might be that was thumping against his window, but he couldn't go outside because of the blizzard. And so a little while later, the snow blizzard subsided, just enough for him to manage to get outside. And so he got outside onto his farm, and across the field were a flock of geese who were caught in the snow blizzard. They were migrating south, but got trapped in the snow blizzard. But because they couldn't see, they were just flying in circles along his field. And he looked at them and he felt pity for them. And he's like, well, if I could just get them into my barn, they will survive this cold night, this blizzard. And so what he does, but takes pity on them, he obviously realized it was the geese that were hitting his window one after the other. He opens his barn doors wide open and basically waits and says, come on, geese, notice the barn doors are open. And notice that they're open, get in there. But to his dismay, they didn't notice the barn doors were open. And so the next thing he started to do was call them. Come, geese. I mean, and you know that's going to work, right? Come, geese. Come, geese. And the geese just ended up flying further away from the barn. Then he had a bright idea. Decided to go get some bread from his house and make a trail from where the geese were into the barn, dropping bread, thinking, surely this is going to work. And so he does this, but the geese are still there, are going to die because of the frostbite, the snow, the blizzard. And by this stage, he's completely frustrated. So he circles around the geese And he starts to shoo them into the barn, going, come on, go, go, go. But of course, that doesn't work either. They just scatter, completely scatter. And by this stage, he's getting super frustrated, and he thinks, why don't they follow me? He's thinking to himself. He goes, if only I could save them. If only I could be a goose, can't be a whole geese. If only I could be one goose, then they would follow me, he thinks to himself in that moment. He gets a bright idea. He has some geese in his barn, and he grabs one of his goose. You guys just, you make it up, okay? He grabs one of his chicken things. He circles behind them and lets the goose go. And the goose flies into the barn knowing that's the safety, that's his home. And all the rest of the geese follow one by one by one into the barn. All of a sudden, his words come back to him. Why won't they follow me? What if I could be a goose like them? And then the words that he said to his wife came flooding back into his mind. Why would God become like us and come to earth as a man? And in the moment, on the snow, he fell to his knees. As for the first time in his whole life, he understood the Christmas story that God has his Son come as man to save us. That God had his Son come as man to show us the way. And he fell to his knees and he prayed for the first time. He prayed, thank you, God, for coming in a human form to get me out of the storm. Church, God is with us. God came in the form of Jesus to be with us. He became one of us. And that's the good news and the great joy. On the 2nd of March, 1791, the founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, at the age of 88, died. And these are his last words. And I say this so often. People's last words matter. They are important. And this is what he said. It's the message he wanted to leave the followers of the Methodist Church. And he said this. Best of all is that God is with us. Best of all is that God is with us. This is the good news. This is the great joy that God is with us, which is why our sermon series is called Good News and Great Joy. I'm going to read a text found in Luke 2 verses 8 to 11, and it says this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. What is the good news that brings great joy? The good news that brings great joy are these three words. God with us. God with us. And today I'm going to unpack these simple words for us. God with us, so that we can fully understand the meaning of God with us. These three words are so important that they were Wesley's last words on his deathbed. These three words, they sum up all of Scripture. These three words are the overarching big narrative of the entire Bible. These three words are most possibly the most important words ever spoken. God with us. He is God with us. Matthew 1:23 says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And so this morning, we're going to go on a journey, understanding God, understanding with, and understanding us. The first word we're going to speak about is God and the significance of God. Friends, Jesus Christ came, but he didn't come as like a substitute. He came as God in the flesh, fully human and fully divine. Not partially human and partially divine, fully human and fully divine. He was God in the flesh, incarnate, came to earth. Jesus is God with us in the person. He's not a partial revelation. It's not just a portion of God. He's not just, well, the God wannabe, you know, in human form. He is God. This is what Colossians 2:9 says. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. All the fullness. Not some of the fullness, not a little portion of the fullness, but all of the fullness of God came down in Jesus, a baby, who was born and raised by other humans, fully God and fully human. And he is God with us. God. And why is it important? What does Scripture say about God? I'm going to rattle off a couple. They're not going to be on the screen. But just get a picture of what it means that God is with us. It says this about God in Scripture. It says that it is he who made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom. And by his understanding, he stretched out heavens. That is found in Jeremiah. This is who God is, who is with us. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. This is our God. He created all things, and because of his will, they were created and existed. This is found in Revelations. He, God, is with us. The one is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. All things, friends, hold together because of God. He holds all things together. It's powerful when we start to understand who God is. God is the one who created the universe with his fingers and with his breath. He breathed the sun and the moon and the stars into existence. This is what Psalms 8 says. This is God. He breathed that and he came to live amongst us. God in human form. He is the one by whom all things were created, both the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, all thrones and all dominions, all rulers, all authority, all things have been created through him and for him. This is the God who came in human form. This all-powerful, all-knowing, creating, ruling God is with us. He is with us, and he came in all fullness in bodily form. So the first word is God, and I hope you've begun to get a glimpse of who God is today. The second word is with. Scripture says that Mary was with child. How close is that? With. You know when you're trying to get into a club and you're underage, not me anymore, and you just go, I'm with him, with. There are so many pictures of withness in Scripture. Can I give you a couple so that you can start to understand what this with means? The first with picture that we have is that we are the clay and he is the potter. He is with us so deeply, so intimately, that his hands surround us. They form us. They shape us. We're not left alone like to dry out as a clump of clay or a lump of clay on the side. No, his hands are molding us, shaping us. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And he is constantly molding us and shaping us. We are surrounded by his hands. We are covered by his hands while he forms our lives. That's how with us he is. The second picture I have for us is that we are the branches and he is the vine. We are so deeply and intimately connected to the vine. You cannot even separate the branches and the vine. They are one. And the life force of the flows from the branches from the vine into the branches. How beautiful is it that there is this connection, that there is a flow, that there is unity, that our sustenance comes from him, that by remaining in him, by continuing to be connected to him, our lives flourish. That is a picture of our withness with God. Another picture that Scripture talks about all the time is that we are the sheep and he is the shepherd. We are the sheep and he is the shepherd. He is with us so deeply, so intimately that he cares for us. He protects us. He nourishes us. He takes us to green pastures when we need to be fed. He lets us lie down when we need to rest. He protects us from the enemy when the enemy begins to attack. How beautiful that our shepherd protects us, cares for us, nourishes us. That's another picture of withness. Another picture of witness is that we are his children and he is our father. Friends, I don't know about you, but if you're a parent, you will do anything for your kids. You know that, even if it's illegal and you end up in jail, but you will do. You want to protect. You want to give your kids the best opportunities that you can in life. You want to raise them well. You want to lead them to Jesus. This is a picture of a father who cares so intimately for his children. That is our God, friends. We have his last name. We bear his resemblance. That's what children have. They have your last name, even if it's chicken. They have your last name and they look like you. Right? Well, we have his last name, and we bear his resemblance. We are little Christs. We look a little bit more like Christ the more we spend with him. This is an example of how he is with us, like a father and a child. Another picture is that we are his friend, and he is our friend. Friends share lives together. They share stories. They share heartache. They share joy. They share the ups and downs of life. This is what community is. We share together. He loves us so deeply, so intimately, that he wants what he had with Adam and Eve with us. He wants to walk in the garden with us, intimately as friends, not with shame that separates us from him, not with sin that separates us from him, but with a closeness and an intimacy where he knows us by name. He knows the things that keep us up at night. He knows the things that are on our hearts. He knows the things that bring us joy. That is what a friend does. And he wants to walk with us daily. He wants to keep company with us daily. He doesn't want us to remember him every second Sunday when we come to church. He wants us to be with him daily. That's how with us he is and wants to be. Another picture is we are his creation and he is our creator. Friends, Scripture says of us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's formed us in our mother's womb. He knit us together. How beautiful. He knows you by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Every one of your fingerprints is unique from somebody else. There is a uniqueness about you that he loves. That's how with us he is. Another picture is in scripture is that we are the tattoo and he is the body. Friends, yesterday Hein got a tattoo. You have to find Hein at some point. A massive tattoo. He didn't go small. He went big, okay? And I thought to myself while they were tattooing Micah 7 verse 8, I hope he's got the right scripture verse on that arm. Because it's not coming off. This is a picture of our witness with God. We are the tattoo, right? We're on him. We're in him. We're part of him. There's no separation from God. That's what scripture says in Isaiah 49, 16. There's no separation. That's how with us he is. We are the bride, and he is the bridegroom. John 3, verse 29. Friends, he is the one who pursues us. He courts us. He proposes to us. He asks us to share this life with him. And we prepare ourselves for the day that he comes and returns for this beautiful bride, the body of Christ, the church. That's how with us. You know, there's no more intimate relationship than a relationship of a husband and wife. There is a withness, a joining, a mingling of souls that happens with a husband and wife. And that's the picture that he chooses to describe how with us he is. We are the bride, and he is the bridegroom. And together there is a unity. So when we look at these pictures of scripture, we should see the deepest, most intimate ways that he is with us. Just take a moment and say that word to yourself, with. You're not alone. He's with you. Many of you have gone through this year and you thought you were alone. He's with you. Hold one of those pictures in your mind, whichever one resonates with you. Perhaps it's the bride and groom. Perhaps it's the branches. Perhaps it's the sheep and the shepherd. Whatever the picture is, perhaps it's the tattoo and the skin. He's with you, friends. We've spoken about God. We've spoken about with. And today, we're going to end off by speaking about us. Us. In our humanity. Us. As human beings. He is with us. In our weakness. In our frailty. In our humanity. In our sinfulness. In our brokenness. He is with us. Us. Tim Keller says it like this. The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared to believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. More sinful and more loved. This is who we are. Friends, the moment we understand that we are sinful, in desperate need of a Savior, everything changes. The moment we say, I need you to be my Lord and Savior, everything changes. We are His beloved children. He loves us in our sinfulness, in our brokenness, in our lostness. So who are we? We are geese. Lost in the snowstorm of life, needing shelter, needing protection. We're flying around aimlessly, blindly, stranded, needing someone to take refuge in. That's who we are. And God, in His wisdom, He knew that the distance between us and Him, it was too great, and so we needed a goose. And that goose looked like us. And His name was Jesus. And He came as a baby. He came as a baby so that we could identify with him. He came as a baby so that we could follow him. He came as a baby so that he could save us and place us in his safety. And so Christ came in all the fullness of God to live a life with us. With us. And when we do accept him as our Lord and Savior, when we allow him to lead us, when we follow him, he leads us home. He leads our lives here on earth, and one day we will be in eternity with him. This is, friends, the good news of great joy. This is the good news that God is with us in the form of Jesus. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit. So God is still with us, and he is working amongst us, and he is in this place today. And so the good news is that God is with us. We never meant to do this life alone. We're meant to do this life with God. All we need to do is make a decision to follow him today. Can I ask for every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed, as we take a moment to respond to what's been said here today? Friends, if you need to make a decision to follow Jesus today, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand. And all we're going to do is pray a simple prayer together. A prayer inviting Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our life. A prayer inviting God to be with us in our daily lives. That way he will lead us in our daily lives. And one day we will be with him in eternity. If that's you today, if you would like to invite him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, then would you just pop up your hand and I'd love to include you in my prayer. On the count of three, we're going to raise some hands. One, two, three. Pop up your hand if that's you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else would like to be included in those prayers? Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you at the back, I see that hand. Thank you on the balcony, I see those hands. Anyone else? Last call. No one's looking around. You need to come safely out of the storm into the barn where Jesus will be with you. If this is you today, would you pop up your hand? I'd love to include you in this prayer. I see you on the balcony there. Last call. Thank you, love. I see your hand. Thank you. I believe there's one or two more people. Just pop up your hand if you're feeling butterflies in your stomach, you're feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit, just raise your hand and I'd love to include you in this prayer. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Won't you pray this prayer out loud in one voice together? Come on, Thrive 8:30, let's pray together. Dear Father God, I come before you today with a humble heart, and I surrender my life to you. And I believe that Jesus Christ was born sin-free and died on a cross as a payment for my own sin. And he rose 3 days later. Please, would you forgive my sins and make me new? From today, Lord, would you be with me? In Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen, amen and amen. I want to say a huge congratulations. A huge congratulations to everyone who responded today. If you responded, we have these orange books that say, because you responded. They will be available on our deck at our welcome area, where one of our team would love to process this decision with you, offer you a cup of coffee or tea or beverage of your choice, and give you some next steps for your faith journey. Because the decision you made today was an incredible starting point. But we want to give you some tools to help you as you journey towards Jesus. Our team now are going to bless us with an item about how it is that God is with us. Thank you, team. Take it away.
You have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.